Get the Balance Right. Written by Wandering Jedi Historian and read by Litra. A Star Wars prequel trilogy, Star Wars Clone Wars fanfic, rated teen. With the pairing Cody Obi-Wan Kenobi. Summary.
It's why we have to get the balance right, Cody pointed out. You are my mate, which means in our pack hierarchy, your word carries weight. But if I'm there, and you speak up when I don't...
Realization dawned on Obi-Wan's face.
It could come across as me trying to take authority from you, he said. The very thing our mating is designed to prevent.
Cody nodded, grateful that Obi-Wan finally understood.
Alpha 17 learned several things in short order after being assigned to Jedi General Obi-Wan Kenobi. The first was that the clones were not properly prepared for the reality of Jedi abilities. But that was easily remedied with extra training. The other issue was that the lack of exposure to Omegas during their formative years had consequences. They had no problem taking orders from an Omega Jedi. It was off the battlefield that there were struggles. The clones knew how to fold an Alpha into their pack hierarchy. They didn't know how to do it with an Omega. Similar problems were noted by commanders and captains throughout the Gar. Due to the situation on Kamino, the clones had formed strong pack bonds with their CCs, trained since decanting for command. As the alphas of the various smaller packs that would form battalions and legions, and the alpha-class troopers scattered throughout, providing anchors where needed, none of the trainers had been Omegas. Something that the Kaminoans hadn't known could be a problem, and something the Kuiviltar hadn't considered to be a problem. Now, with true experience under his belt, Alpha 17 questioned if that was arrogance or ignorance on their part. He supposed it didn't matter anymore, but still, he wondered. A Natborn member of Gar Command suggested having Omega Jedi mate with their commanders as a way to solve the problem. Initially, the Jedi Order refused, stating that they felt as though neither side had the ability to truly consent given the situation. The Senate caught wind, and several senators pointed out that hundreds of planets in the Republic had arranged marriage practices and insisted it was no different. For a while, the Jedi held firm. But then, Jabim. The battle was hell. It was a disaster from the start. And somehow, the Senate decided to take it as proof the mating plan was needed, and pushed the subject. Alpha 17 didn't understand how a disaster of a battle said anything of the sort, but Natborn logic often made little sense to him. With pressure mounting, the Jedi reluctantly agreed. Doing his best to banish thoughts of Jabim, and all that went with it, away, difficult as that was, with his still healing wounds, Alpha 17 looked out over his ARC trainees. He'd had word from Kenobi. The message was full of important updates. His former general was now fully healed and declared fit to return to the field. Skywalker had also been knighted, which meant he wouldn't be there to have Kenobi's back in the field. Upon his Padawan's knighting, Kenobi was also promoted to the Jedi Council, becoming a High General. Even without the mating business, Alpha 17 would have selected only his best to recommend for the spot. A few of his ARC trainees had all the markings of excellent martial commanders. But, as he watched yet another truly ridiculous spin kick, Alpha 17, Alpha of the Clone Pack, knew there was only one choice for Obi-Wan Kenobi's commander. Cody was determined. He'd been hand-selected for this position by Alpha 17. He would not let his pack Alpha down. especially when he knew that Jedi General Obi-Wan Kenobi had genuinely earned Alpha 17's respect. That wasn't an easy task. It said much about the Jedi, and it let Cody feel certain that they truly could be a good team. Still, it didn't stop the light flutter of nerves as he waited in the negotiator's hangar for his general to disembark his shuttle. At least the men were obeying his orders to keep the area clear. This meeting would be far more awkward with an audience.
Hello there.
Turning at the words, Cody saw his new general stepping out of the newly landed shuttle. His Omega General. The man the new rules were going to make him mate with for the sake of the men. General Kenobi, he greeted, saluting sharply. The Jedi smiled, something Cody couldn't identify sparkling in his eyes.
Commander Cody, I presume? He asked.
Nodding, Cody replied, "That's correct, sir." The Jedi's smile softened.
"My dear Cody, in a few minutes we are going to be expected to mate. I'd much rather we dropped the formalities,"
he said, crisp accent unfamiliar but still pleasant to Cody's ears.
"I believe they will just make things awkward between us otherwise. In the field, I understand the importance of being professional, but outside of battle, I do believe it would be counter to our purposes."
Removing his helmet, Cody smiled back at his soon-to-be mate, his Jedi. "I agree," he replied. Warmth bloomed in the Jedi's eyes as he grinned.
"Excellent," Kenobi declared. "Now, a bit more to business before we move on to the mating. I have some experience in war even before this, and a bit more than that in combat. Jedi missions, well, let's just say that Jedi missions go poorly often enough that we all have our share of stories."
Cody heard a wealth of things not said, hidden in those words. His soon-to-be mate was trying to soothe any worries he held. It was appreciated, but not necessary. Cody was a soldier. He was trained for war practically from decanting. As long as his general was honest about his strengths and weaknesses, Cody could cover them. "I think we'll make a good team," Cody offered, hoping it was what the Jedi needed to hear. Smiling, the Jedi replied,
"As do I."
They chatted amiably as they walked towards the general's quarters, the place they were to mate. It still seemed a little surreal to Cody, but it was happening all the same. Prime hadn't done much that the clones were grateful for, but they had to admit that his insistence that the clones be taught about the standard sexual functions of an Alpha was helpful. According to the Alpha-class troopers, Prime had explained it to the Kaminoans as a necessity of the clones functioning at their peak. Sounded like a load of dung to Cody, but at least it meant he knew his own body. His knowledge of Omegas was far more academic. It wasn't like he'd ever had the opportunity to get to know one on an intimate level before. Fortunately for him, and all the other commanders who were going to mate with their Jedi, the Jedi Order seemed to take a very practical approach to the subject.
"There is no purpose in being prudish about totally natural processes," his Jedi said kindly, as soon as the door to his quarters was closed. "Wanting to keep it private is another matter entirely, and I would prefer that we keep any of the more personal sides of our mating private. But if you have any questions before we proceed, I will answer what I can. Should you have any questions I can't answer, or if it would simply make you more comfortable, we can calm one of the Jedi healers."
There wasn't any judgment in his tone. No sign that he disapproved of the possibility that there were things relevant to his own nature that Cody didn't know. It was reassuring. "I know that a mating bond requires a bite," Cody began. "Sex isn't required, nor is nodding, but..." He faltered for a moment, squaring his shoulders, He made himself continue, trusting that his Jedi wouldn't judge him for his knowledge being more theoretical than practical. But the literature all says that sex makes the process more pleasant. There was a glint in his Jedi's eyes that Cody didn't quite know how to read, and for a moment he worried.
"My dear Commander,"
Cody started, lips twitching into a teasing smile.
"This isn't a mission report. You don't need to be so serious.
Honestly, should we choose the sex route, I would prefer it to be a pleasant encounter for us both, rather than something you approach like a mission to be endured." There was a light flush on his Jedi's cheeks as he spoke, and Cody idly wondered what it would look like if it spread across the rest of him. Taking a chance, he grinned. "I'm sure we can both do better than just endure," he teased. His Jedi beamed.
"That's the spirit, Cody."
While each clone had their own sleeping pod on Kamino, they never really slept alone. The pods weren't soundproof, nor smellproof. The comforting, familiar scents of pack were everywhere. As a battalion commander, Cody was entitled to small but private quarters. He hadn't actually intended to use them for sleeping. The idea of a private space when he wanted a break was appealing, but sleeping with no familiar scents around was disconcerting. So, when Obi-Wan... Yes, Obi-Wan now. When not on the battlefield, in the warm, relaxed afterglow of their mating, offered for them to share, Cody accepted. The purpose of their mating was to provide stability for the men by giving Obi-Wan a settled place in the clones' pack that they could accept. The literature they'd all read indicated that mates shared quarters, so it made sense. Everything also said that their scents mixing together should also help the clones' instincts. Cody hadn't anticipated enjoying it so much. The quiet evenings doing form work together likely would have happened, mating or no. There were tasks they needed to complete as general and commander, no matter what, and those would have existed anyway. But he didn't think generals often read aloud to their commanders, or cuddled close while their commander shared a story from training. Maybe they did. It's not like Cody had any other frame of reference. But either way, it didn't take long for Cody to start forgetting that they had mated for necessity, for convenience. It all felt real. The affection in Obi-Wan's eyes in quiet moments made warmth blossom in Cody's chest. The teasing smiles they shared when they bantered with one another. The way Obi-Wan always seemed to know when he needed a cup of caff. The soft smile he received when he brought Obi-Wan a much-needed cup of tea. The easy, quiet companionship on the rare quiet evenings they had. The way Obi-Wan cuddled close in their bunk, soaking up all the warmth he had to offer, since Force sensitives ran cold. The way Obi-Wan held him, patient, understanding, and utterly without judgment when he cried the first time he lost a close batchmate. The way Obi-Wan accepted his comfort when he lost a friend. None of it felt like a necessity. It felt like it mattered. And Cody wasn't trained for that. The men followed his lead, and it made it clear to him that mating had been a wise move. The more he relaxed around Obi-Wan, the more tension bled from the men after battle. As he interacted freely with Obi-Wan, the men accepted their Jedi more fully into what their instincts told them was their territory. It wasn't all smooth sailing, though.
"That is enough," Cody growled.
The men instantly went silent at the order from their alpha.
"I'm not interested in anyone pointing fingers," Cody said sternly. "I don't care who started it. Every single one of you knows better than to act like this. Every one of you that was involved will clean this up. Anyone who wants to argue will also find themselves on fresher cleaning duty for a 10-day. Are we clear?"
Silence met his words. Are we clear? He demanded, letting more of his authority as Pack Alpha and Marshal Commander lace his words. The group of men in front of him went tense, but all of them nodded. Dismissed, he snapped, turning to Waxer, who had arrived at this debacle at the same time he had. He said, Oversee the cleanup. Report in when it's done. Anyone who tries to slack, tell me. Waxer, letting his disappointment in the men's actions show on his face, nodded solemnly. Yes, sir, he replied. Obi-Wan stood quietly at the door to the training room, frowning. Cody didn't look forward to the conversation they were going to have about this. Not after he'd snapped at Obi-Wan for trying to step in. That spar will have to wait, Cody said as he rejoined his Jedi by the door. Frown intensifying, Obi-Wan replied, I can see that. Sighing, Cody herded Obi-Wan back out the door towards the Jedi's office. I shouldn't have been so sharp with you, Cody admitted as soon as the door slid shut. You meant well. Obi-Wan huffed. It's hardly the first time in my life that I've seen Alphas brawling after a disagreement, he pointed out. I'm not some sheltered Omega who was raised to be a pretty arm decoration for a wealthy Alpha. Cody groaned. I know that. And had you been the one to issue the order for them to stop, they likely would have. But this situation is exactly the kind of problem our mating was supposed to avoid. This is on our ship, in what our men see as their territory, not a battlefield. Raising a brow, Obi-Wan challenged, Am I not your mate? Would they not have respected their Alpha's mate giving an order? Because even in situations where I am not acting as their general, I am still that. It was a valid point. Cody knew that. Running hand over his face, Cody said, You're the better one with words. With a rueful grin, he continued, Had I not been with you, and you walked into that ridiculous, childish behavior? Yes, you absolutely could and should issue an order to stop them. And they should listen. But if I'm there and you do it, it calls the pack hierarchy into question. Obi-Wan frowned. But why? He asked. Why would it matter? Cody tried again to explain. Because I'm their Alpha, he said. Groaning, Obi-Wan admitted, I still don't see it. The Jedi, we weren't raised in the same way. Not all species have Alphas and Omegas and Betas. So it's really not possible to form a pack like this. It's one thing to have limited dealings with a pack on a mission, but this has been a learning curve, I must admit. Nodding, Cody had to agree. It was the same for all the clones. The war meant they had to learn fast, but that didn't mean it came easily. It's why we have to get the balance right, he pointed out. You're my mate, which means in our pack hierarchy, your word carries weight. But if I'm there and you speak up when I don't... Realization dawned on Obi-Wan's face.
It could come across as me trying to take authority from you, he said. The very thing our mating is designed to prevent.
Cody nodded, grateful that Obi-Wan finally understood. They respect you, he was quick to reassure. But sometimes it has to come from me. With a sigh, Obi-Wan replied,
I understand now.
Breathing a sigh of relief, Cody said, I am sorry their behavior took our chance to spar away. Obi-Wan grinned.
You don't get out of it that easily, my dear, he teased. As soon as they've put that training room to rights, I expect you to give me that workout you promised.
Cody just grinned in reply. Why in the 9 Corellian hells did Cody's Jedi insist on flirting with the enemy? Cody viciously tamped down on his alpha instincts as he gave orders necessary to finish packing up their camp for return to the ship. That deep instinctual side didn't care that they had mated for the stability of their battalion. It only cared that his mate was flirting with another. But Cody was a soldier. Not only that, he was a martial commander. He could not allow his instincts to rule him, no matter how loudly they screamed.
"Is everything all right, Cody?"
Obi-Wan asked. Still tense, Cody nodded sharply once. The command tent had already been taken down, so there was no privacy for them here anymore. Not that there had been much in the first place on this world. The forest clearing they'd camped in had been cramped enough that they hadn't been able to space their tents out as much as normal anyway. "Fine, General," he replied simply. "Waxer and Boyle are completing a loop of the perimeter to make sure we don't miss anything. ETA on the gunships to return us to the Negotiator is 15 minutes. They'll land in the field just outside the forest, so we need to get the men and gear moving." His Jedi frowned, making it clear that he didn't believe that all was well, as Cody claimed.
"Are you certain, my dear?" he asked.
Cody tensed even further at the words, and Obi-Wan's frown deepened.
"You are not all right,"
Obi-Wan said sternly, though he tried to keep his voice low so as not to call undue attention to them.
"I can feel the displeasure you are practically radiating into the Force. I had hoped you would simply tell me what was wrong. I'm your general and your mate. You should not lie to me."
Unable to help himself, Cody snapped. "I'm your mate when it's convenient." A short distance away, Wooly and Longshot both paused in packing a supply crate, telling Cody his voice had carried further than he wanted. Obi-Wan blinked, startled, and Cody internally cursed himself for the lack of self-control. He needed to be better. At least his anger wasn't seeping into his scent and making it turn bitter.
"Excuse me?"
Obi-Wan replied, confusion, irritation, and hurt mingling in his tone.
"What exactly do you mean?"
Curling his hands into fists at his side, Cody said, "You remember that we're mates only when it suits you." Cocking his head to the side, Obi-Wan studied him for a long moment.
"Is there a problem?"
he asked again. Harshly breathing through his nose, Cody admitted, "Our mating may not be real, but that doesn't mean my alpha instincts enjoy watching you, my mate, openly flirt with another."
Cody, I do apologize," he offered. "It's merely a strategy. It wrongfoots most opponents as they don't expect it, even those that do find it distracting to keep up with. I didn't realize the impact it would have on you. That was careless of me. I'm sorry."
Nodding stiffly, Cody accepted the apology. "I understand," he replied. Gently, Obi-Wan reached out and put a hand on Cody's arm. Even with his armor still on, Cody felt himself relax at his mate's touch. Obi-Wan's comforting scent strengthened as Obi-Wan stepped just a little closer, though the effect was lessened by Cody's helmet.
"Promise me that in the future you will tell me," Obi-Wan insisted. "I never intend to cause you harm, Cody."
Softening, Cody nodded. "I know that." Since the area was secure, he pulled his helmet off and breathed Obi-Wan's scent in. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw that Wooly and Longshot weren't even pretending to work anymore. He glared at them until they turned away, then directed his attention back to Obi-Wan. "At first, I could ignore it. But you've been doing it more often, and it's gotten harder and harder to deal with. It's as if..." He trailed off, not sure how to explain. Grimacing, Obi-Wan said,
"The more I do it, the more your instincts take it as a rejection."
Wincing, Cody nodded again. Obi-Wan closed his eyes.
I am sorry for not thinking about that. I will be more careful. No matter the why, we are mates, and that does come with responsibilities to one another.
Swallowing hard, Cody replied, "We have a duty." Looking him right in the eye, Obi-Wan said,
"I have other strategies I can employ just as well. Ones that don't hurt you unnecessarily."
For the first time since the discussion began, Cody smiled. "Thank you," he offered quietly. Obi-Wan tightened his grip on Cody's arm just a little.
"We are in this together," he reminded Cody.
Together really was a nice concept.
Obi-Wan took medication to prevent having heats. Given the war, Cody found that a very practical decision.
There are suppressants out there that can completely prevent all signs of one's nature, Obi-Wan explained one morning in their quarters over tea and caff. But they are incredibly unhealthy long-term. A Jedi's life can be unpredictable enough without heat and rut cycles, so most of us do use medications or contraceptives to skip heat or rut. Usually, we are still expected to stop the medication and have a full cycle periodically. The healers prefer once a year, but once every other is the official policy.
Cody nodded. Makes sense. We were all given rut prevention shots before deployment.
Blushing a little, Obi-Wan admitted,
While they prevent most things, I do still find myself with a desire to nest around when my heat cycle should occur. It's not so intense as to interfere with my work, but it does happen. If you've noticed me spending more time in our quarters this week, or seeming more affectionate, well, that's why.
Considering their options, Cody asked a question. Is there a way we can indulge your instincts more? Eyes widening, Obi-Wan blushed more deeply.
That's not necessary, he assured.
Setting his calf aside, Cody reached for Obi-Wan's hand and squeezed it. If I needed something to soothe my instincts, you'd march right into Gar HQ and try to acquire it for me, he pointed out. Obi-Wan huffed.
That's entirely beside the point, my dear.
Cody smiled ruefully and shook his head. It really isn't, he countered. Looking thoughtful for a moment, Obi-Wan eventually replied.
Next time we're on Coruscant, I'll acquire some extra blankets and pillows. I hope you'll be all right with our bunk being turned into a nest sometimes.
This time, Cody's smile was soft and fond. Can't wait, he assured. A strange look flitted across Obi-Wan's face before being quickly hidden.
What is it? Cody asked.
Hesitantly, Obi-Wan replied,
Would it trouble the men if I ask for a few of the blankets to be used in the rec room a bit first? I'll want my nest to smell mostly of you and I, but with the scent of our pack around me too.
Cody beamed, unable to help the rush of warmth in his heart, and how deeply Obi-Wan accepted his place in the clone's pack. They'll be thrilled, he promised. Cody didn't know what he'd expected after the next Coruscant rotation, but it wasn't this. Waxer, Wooly, and Longshot have been sitting with the General's blankets for half an hour, Chris groused, resisting the urge to either turn right back around and leave the rec room, or run his hand over his face in irritation. Cody sighed. Chris, he started, if I have to make a carking schedule for these blankets. Chris huffed, and hovering behind him, Gearshift and Barlex looked equally as put out. Cody briefly wondered how exactly this had become his life. He almost wished for a Sepi attack to get him out of this ridiculous situation.
Almost. 10 more minutes, you three, Cody said, fixing Waxer, Wooly, and Longshot with a hard look. Then you let others use them too. Waxer nodded, even as Wooly attempted to use his weaponized Sad Tuka eyes in protest. Wooly, Cody said sternly, you need to share. Are we clear? The younger trooper drooped. Yes, sir. Even as annoying as the situation was, Cody wasn't entirely displeased. Not really. How could he be unhappy about such an obvious sign of how much the men had accepted Obi-Wan into their pack? This felt right. Right in a way Cody hadn't known something could. Everything all right, darling? Obi-Wan asked sleepily. Cody looked down at where his mate was currently snuggled into his chest on their bunk, a bunk which currently contained all of Obi-Wan's nesting material. It felt right. Felt like what all the Holos said home felt like. He didn't fight the temptation to press a kiss to the top of Obi-Wan's head. Yes, he assured. Obi-Wan smiled at the easy affection, but he still made another questioning sound. We made it because we had to, Cody started slowly. But it's become more than that, at least for me. Humming thoughtfully, Obi-Wan shifted to look up at Cody. It has for me, too, he assured. I don't know what all it means, but I know it means I love you more than I was supposed to. Love. Obi-Wan said the word so easily. Swallowing hard, Cody replied, I love you, too. Even if I have no idea what that means for us. Obi-Wan shifted up and pressed a kiss to Cody's lips. It doesn't mean anything has to change. We're just acknowledging what we know to be true. Smiling fondly, Cody asked, How did you get so wise? Grinning, Obi-Wan replied, I'm a Jedi. It comes with the territory. Cody snorted. So you're saying Anakin is wise? That earned a grimace. Comes with Jedi Master territory, Obi-Wan amended. Laughing, Cody nodded. That's what I thought. After a long moment, Obi-Wan settled back against Cody's chest, heart feeling lighter. Cody found it easier to drift off to sleep. Obi-Wan scowled. Why in all the 9 Corellian hells had he thought calling Quinlan was a good idea? I am so thankful to have such a supportive friend, Obi-Wan snarked as he only just restrained the urge to flop dramatically on his and Cody's bunk. Grateful that his mate was training with their men and not there to witness the conversation. Quinlan sobered just enough to smirk at him through the calm. Obes, we have been friends for entirely too long for you to think this conversation was going to go any differently, he pointed out. With a heavy sigh, Obi-Wan acknowledged the point. For the record, I knew you were in love with him the moment I met him, Quinlan declared. And it took exactly 1 touch to know he's equally as in love with you. Obi-Wan ran a hand over his face. It wasn't supposed to happen. The Kaffar Alpha shrugged. Since when has that mattered? Staring at his friend for a long moment, Obi-Wan considered his question carefully. You don't particularly care for the clones, yet you seem all right with me being in love with one. He pointed out. It was Quinlan's turn for a dramatic sigh. Ayla is in love with her commander, too. he muttered, the words sounding like a lament. I can't put my finger on what it is about them that sets my instincts on edge. Not just my alpha instincts, but force ones too. There's something there, but it's too indistinct for me to put a solid finger on it. But I've seen Cody with you and Bly with Ayla, and the way you both talk about them, I don't doubt they're good men. So I'm trying to sort out where the bad feelings come from, for me. Because if two of the people who mean most to me are in love with clones, well, they must be worth it. Obi-Wan smiled gently at his friend. I'm here to talk, if you need it, he reminded. Quinlan waved him off. Don't you have a mate to go cuddle or a stack of data pads to bury yourself in? Grimacing, Obi-Wan replied, Alas, I do have an important date with formwork. With a snort, Quinlan said, Better you than me. Rolling his eyes, Obi-Wan reached for the comm to end the call. Take care of yourself, Quinn. His friend smiled. Always do. It was difficult. So difficult. Even after all this time, to get the balance right. Shortly after the war began, the issues became clear. While the clones respected Omega Jedi as generals, it caused strife for the clones' instincts outside the battlefield because they weren't pack. Alpha Jedi, it seemed, could be rolled into the clones' hierarchy, and Jedi from species without such dynamics didn't seem to cause issues. But because none of the clones were Omegas, their instincts struggled with the placement of Omegas. Now and then, Obi-Wan wondered about Jango Fett's involvement. Fett would have known the potential problems. Fett would have known the potential problems the lack of Omegas around the clones could cause. They had a list from the Kaminoans of cases where Fett's intervention changed a protocol or training method. So why did he let this go? There were times Obi-Wan questioned if it wasn't intentional, given Fett's connections to Dooku. He never let those thoughts go too far, but he couldn't help having them in the first place, given the givens. Obi-Wan could only be grateful that, so far, the matches had mostly gone well. A few hiccups or poor personality matches were inevitable, but it could have been far worse. He'd never forget the moment he met Cody and his beautiful Force presence that shone like the sun. No Force presence had ever called to him in such a way before. It immediately gave him hope that their mating would go well. And oh, how well it had gone from the start. From the moment they met, Cody was the pinnacle of everything an alpha was supposed to be. And not just any alpha, but a pack alpha. He radiated authority just by existing. But he earned the men's loyalty, not just their obedience. Obi-Wan had appreciated those things about him from the start. It didn't matter that, like all Omega Jedi, he'd mated with his commander in the name of Gar stability. Obi-Wan respected Cody from the start. In time, he grew to care far more deeply than he'd ever anticipated. It's what made it so difficult. Seeing Cody this still, his chest barely moving with each breath as he lay on the medical bed. It was wrong. Obi-Wan's chest ached with the wrongness of it all, as he sat at his beloved's bedside. Cody wasn't supposed to get hurt like this. He's stable, Bones, the 212th CMO, assured as he hovered at the other side of Cody's bed. He's going to make it, but recovery will take a while, even with our advanced healing. Obi-Wan heard what Bones didn't say. What he wouldn't say aloud, even though they were nearly alone. The others injured in battle were all asleep in the other medical beds, or had been released to rest in their own bunks. There were time limits on how long a commander could be out of action before Gar Regs required them to be sent to a med station. Having to do that would hurt the 2/12 pack balance. That would be difficult enough to manage if the problem was just Cody being away for a time. What would make it worse would be if Cody was replaced as commander of the 2/12, so that they could keep in fighting rotation. Obi-Wan would fight that with everything he had, not for himself, though he would be loath to allow his bond with Cody to be broken. And the idea of accepting a new one with another commander made his skin crawl. But for the men, they didn't deserve to lose their pack alpha because of Gar protocol. "I will do all I can," Obi-Wan replied firmly. He would. He would deal. Personally, if it came to that. He was a Jedi. He knew the risks of holding too tightly to people and not wanting to let go. Losing Cody would break his heart. He knew that now. But he'd do his duty. He had to. But it would destabilize the 2/12 utterly, and that was not acceptable. Perhaps that would be a tactical angle he could argue to keep Cody with them while he healed. Bones swallowed hard. "We know, sir." It wasn't until after their mating that Cody revealed to him just how high he was in the clones' pack hierarchy. Obi-Wan certainly hadn't known he was agreeing to mate with the highest-ranking CC in the hierarchy. Over a year, and he still didn't know who was at the top, though he did know it was one of the Alpha-class troopers. Anything truly serious happening to Cody had repercussions well beyond the 2/12. Tiredly running a hand over his face, Obi-Wan asked, "Is there anyone I need to make aware?" It was late by Gar timekeeping, set to Coruscant standard, as that was, but if he needed to wake someone up, he would do it. The medic looked at him for a long moment. "In what capacity, sir?" Bones asked. Inclining his head, Obi-Wan acknowledged that the distinction mattered here. "As his mate," he replied. "I know what I must do as his general." Bones nodded his understanding. With a deep breath, he said, "You should calm Alpha 17, sir. But it can wait until morning on Kamino. That's only a few more hours anyway." It took every ounce of Obi-Wan's self-control not to ask the obvious question. He could take the matter up with Alpha 17 directly. "Thank you, Bones," he replied. "I'm going to stay with Cody a little longer. Then I'll make that call." The medic gave him an understanding smile and retreated to the CMO's small office just off the main medbay. Obi-Wan napped at Cody's bedside as he waited until after dawn Kamino time. When he was certain it was a reasonable time, he dragged himself to the bridge and over to the briefing table. It offered the closest thing to privacy for making this sort of long-range holocall. Admiral Block wasn't currently aboard, leaving only clones around. It made the call he needed to make both easier and harder. Cody's condition was no secret, but having to confirm it in their hearing seemed like a terrible thing. Still, he knew what he had to do. With determination, he let as much of his Jedi Master calm settle around him as he could. Then he entered Alpha 17's comm number and waited. "What happened?" Alpha 17 asked the moment the call connected. The lack of greeting was no surprise. Alpha 17 never was one to waste words. "Cody was badly injured in our last campaign," Obi-Wan replied dutifully. He'd have given a great deal of credits to know what exactly went through Alpha 17's mind in that moment. "Will he make it?" Alpha 17 asked. The tone was unlike anything Obi-Wan had heard from him before. He couldn't identify all the emotions locked tightly together in those words. But he knew Alpha 17 well enough to know that concern was one of them. Possibly even the slightest hint of pain. "Yes," Obi-Wan assured. "Bones says his recovery will take time, but he will live." Some of the tension bled from Alpha 17's posture. In that moment, Obi-Wan remembered that Alpha 17 knew Cody personally, that he had been the one to recommend Cody for his post. It didn't surprise him, then, to realize that despite his gruff exterior, Alpha 17 genuinely cared about Cody. "Long enough for a med station?" Alpha 17 asked pointedly. Grimacing, Obi-Wan sighed. "That remains to be seen. I'm hoping to avoid it." Alpha 17 was silent for several heartbeats. "If you can't avoid it, but you can make sure the Gar would send him back after, I can ensure the pack doesn't have issues in the meantime," he eventually declared. With sudden clarity, Obi-Wan realized just who was at the top of the clones' pack hierarchy. "You are..." he started. A look from Alpha 17 silenced him, and Obi-Wan nodded. "I understand," he assured. "Any messages you wish me to pass along?" With a sharp nod, Alpha 17 said, "Tell Bones I want updates." Smiling softly, Obi-Wan replied, "I will." Narrowing his eyes, Alpha 17 added, "And be sure to take care of yourself. Your mate and your pack are going to need you to be strong while Cody recovers. You can't do that if you run yourself to exhaustion trying to cover for him." Obi-Wan bristled a little at the implication that he didn't know how to look after himself. While he was self-aware enough to know there were times when he let self-care go, he knew the dangers of letting those times go on for too long. With Cody out of commission for a time, he'd likely push his limits for a while to keep things running, but he knew where his hard limits were. "I will," he assured again. There was a moment of silence. Then Alpha 17 spoke again. "I expected you two to work well together," he said. "But I didn't expect either of you to fall in love. He could certainly do worse." Obi-Wan grinned ruefully, knowing that was the closest to outright getting Alpha 17's blessing as he could possibly be. "Thank you for that resounding endorsement," he teased. Alpha 17 snorted. "I'm sure you have plenty of work to do, and I have another batch of candidates to turn into arcs." Grimacing a little once again, Obi-Wan nodded. "Indeed," he replied. "The work never stops. Take care." Alpha 17 nodded sharply once, then ended the call. "Master Kenobi, is there a reason that you're refusing to allow the transfer of your injured commander? Without that transfer, a replacement cannot be sent to you," the Gar official pointed out. The official was a human, or at least near human, male, that appeared to be firmly middle-aged. He hadn't even bothered to offer a proper introduction, instead launching straight to the topic at hand. It was certainly rude, but Obi-Wan had dealt with far worse. He let determination settle over him. If he wished to keep Cody with the 212th, he needed to pull this off. Turning his Jedi Master Calm facade up to its maximum setting, Obi-Wan replied, "After assessing the situation, I believe that would be detrimental to the 212th Attack Battalion." The official frowned. "How so?" Slipping into a polite smile, Obi-Wan explained, "You understand the concerns about clone pack dynamics and the importance of pack stability to Gar performance?" Nodding slowly, the official replied, "Yes, the reports are very thorough in that regard." Obi-Wan nodded. "Indeed, they are," he agreed. "So you understand that undermining pack hierarchy can destabilize a battalion. When a commander dies, that is inevitable. However, if a commander is at the top of their unit's hierarchy and merely injured, it is more detrimental to replace them than it is beneficial. This has been noted by multiple Jedi since the start of the war. After doing my own evaluation, I believe that the 212th Attack Battalion, in particular, as well as the entire Third System Army as a whole, can remain at a higher performance rate if Cody remains where he is. The commanders and captains under him are skilled and capable. They know their duties and they know what their commander, their Alpha, would expect of them." A flicker of consideration darted across the official's face. "Remove Cody, and now the pack hierarchy is affected, which impacts cohesiveness. That takes time to settle, to rebalance. In short, by the time the 212th would be at peak once more under a new commander, Cody would be fully healed. There is no point in wasting the time or resources to move him to a med station and bring in another commander." That got the official's attention more thoroughly than anything else Obi-Wan had said. It grated that the argument about resources was more important than the men's stability.
"You raise a good point, Master Kenobi," the official allowed. "And Gar resources are certainly stretched thin, as you well know."
Obi-Wan had to bite back a retort on that. It was only thanks to Bail Organa that the 212th had been able to restock on armor paint at the last Coruscant rotation. Someone in the Senate Funds Appropriation Committee had convinced the others that the clones being allowed to paint their armor beyond a single band of color to designate their battalion was a waste of the Republic's funds and resources. Due to their friendship and Bail's own carefully cultivated friendship with the Coruscant Guard, Bail knew how important it was to the clones. Alderaan had therefore provided paint for 6 battalions, while Bail backed the Senate committee down from that stance. Obi-Wan had only just received word from his friend the day before that the situation had been remedied. "Of course," Obi-Wan replied, not allowing any of his true thoughts to show on his face. "We must all do our part." The official nodded more readily now, agreeing. "You have assessed the situation thoroughly?" the man verified. Obi-Wan nodded. "I did," he assured. "The 212th's chief medic says that Commander Cody will be able to do form work inside 3 weeks, which means he will also be able to assist with strategic planning by then. It will merely take longer before he is physically able to join in a battle." The official hummed. "If he could do form work and strategize, he could always give orders over comms," the man pointed out. "Yes, Master Kenobi, I agree it will be a foolish waste of resources to transfer your commander due to this injury. Your request is granted. The Gar appreciates your dedication to only the most judicious use of Gar funds and resources." The official ended the call with a sharp nod. Blowing out a breath he hadn't realized he was holding, Obi-Wan let the tension bleed from his shoulders. His datapad pinged with the official approval. A powerful sense of relief rushed through Obi-Wan at seeing it in writing. Cody would remain with them. With him. He felt a presence hovering nearby in the Force and looked up. Waxer stood at attention just outside the briefing room. "General?" he asked, the single word containing so much more. Obi-Wan smiled. "Cody is staying," he assured. If Obi-Wan had thought his own relief was strong at that, then he had grossly underestimated how the men would feel. The collective relief of all the clones on the bridge would have been enough to sweep him off his feet had he been younger or had weaker shields. Yes, I rather agree, he murmured. Laxer didn't need an explanation. He understood what Obi-Wan was agreeing with. We'll make sure everyone is aware, Laxer promised. You should notify Alpha 17, sir. Obi-Wan nodded. Yes, quite right, Lieutenant. Thank you. After a quick comm to Alpha 17 to assure him that Cody wasn't being transferred, Obi-Wan went to his office. He had form work to review before a council meeting that afternoon. As much as his heart might want to stay at Cody's side, he had to do his duty. Cody would understand, would want that. It didn't mean Obi-Wan had to like it. The fact that he knew there would be a stream of troopers at Cody's bedside all day helped him feel better. At least Cody wasn't going to be alone, even if Bones was keeping him sedated for at least another day. Obi-Wan lost himself in his work. Running a systems army meant the work never ended, and covering for Cody was already adding to it. The door chimed, and Obi-Wan called for whoever was on the other side to enter. Waxer and Davijan stepped in, neither wearing their helmets. Squad 7 had been with them for the last campaign, and Davijan seemed in no hurry for them to return to their primary base. As they were part of Obi-Wan's Open Circle fleet, he supposed it didn't really matter as long as they were able to get to the campaigns they were needed for. Is everything all right? Obi-Wan asked. Smiling, Waxer handed over a canteen and a ration bar. Your council meeting starts in an hour, Waxer said. Obi-Wan blinked and accepted the offered food. I appreciate the reminder, he replied. Waxer sighed. This is more pack than Gar-related. Davijan nodded. Sitting back in his chair, Obi-Wan gestured for him to continue. He anticipated as much, considering it was the two of them. Waxer was only a lieutenant. He didn't report to Cody directly in the Gar chain of command. But he was Cody's second in the 212th's pack. Davijan was the alpha of the small pack made up of Squad 7 and several other related flight squadrons. But he acknowledged Cody as his alpha. If this was Gar-related, he would be one of the commanders, with the 212th having this conversation with him. You're Cody's mate, Waxer began. And Cody is injured. We've been trying to keep a lid on it, but, well, sir, it's difficult. A lid on what exactly? Obi-Wan wondered, as he waited for one of them to continue. Davijan quietly spoke up. Our instincts are insisting we look after our Alpha's mate, since he's injured and can't. We know that you're capable of taking care of yourself, General, but still. Obi-Wan nodded as realization dawned. Instincts can be incredibly difficult to ignore, especially in times of stress, he replied. So I should be prepared for some extra caretaking while Cody is injured? Waxer grimaced, but nodded. We'll try to keep it to a minimum, sir. But if it even looks like you might miss showing up in the mess hall at mealtime, or if you're up late working, expect someone to check on you, he explained. Davijan nodded and added, And don't be surprised if you sense troopers just sort of lingering around outside the office when you're in here or on the bridge. We've both reiterated with the men that they can't interfere with you doing your duties, but expect them to be overly eager to assist. Obi-Wan smiled gently. I understand. Thank you for bringing this to my attention. I will do my utmost to be gracious about the attention. Both of them looked relieved at his acceptance of the situation. It would likely grow grating, but how could he not? The balance of the pack needed to be maintained until Cody was well again. Obi-Wan would simply have to tolerate letting them fuss over him, too. As the weeks passed and Cody slowly mended, Obi-Wan found himself more grateful than ever for their men. Cody's officers stepped up without hesitation to take on whatever of his form work they could, and to help with any of his duties they were able to cover. Waxer and Davijan kept things on an even keel on the pack side of things, while Wooly led a few of the Shinies in a concerted effort to keep Cody from overdoing it as he healed. Bones was thrilled at Cody's progress, and he credited the pack's expert care and help for it. "He's minding my orders because he wants to be a good example," Bones explained to Obi-Wan. The medic had brought him mid-meal in his office so they could chat without a mess hall full of listening ears. Obi-Wan nodded. "And because he knows their instincts are still urging them to be protective." With a grimace, Bones nodded. "That too," he agreed. "He'll be able to start desk work in 2 days, as planned. He's going to be thrilled." Obi-Wan winced. "Yes, quite." Cody was going to hate being stuck at a desk, but at least he was alive. Their quarters were quiet, but it wasn't the peaceful sort of quiet that usually accompanied the pair of them attempting to rest.
"I feel carking useless," Cody muttered.
Obi-Wan rolled onto his side to face his mate. "You are injured," Obi-Wan countered. "You are recovering from wounds that could have killed you. That does not make you useless." Cody's form lost a little of the tension it had been holding. "None of the men think you are useless," Obi-Wan continued. "You are their alpha. They love you. And they want to help however they can because they respect and adore you. When we had to worry that we were going to lose you, darling, I don't think I have words to properly explain how tense the entire ship was. Everyone is thrilled to see you mending." He leaned over and pressed a kiss to Cody's temple.
"Thank you," Cody replied softly.
Obi-Wan rested his forehead against the side of Cody's head for a moment. "We are mates," he said. "We may not have chosen that, but we have chosen to make it mean something." Cody smiled.
"Yeah, we have."
Smiling, Obi-Wan settled back down beside him. The next morning, they had the first briefing that Cody would attend since his injury. Life wasn't back to normal, not by a long road, but they would get there. The selfish part of Obi-Wan hoped this was the worst they ever had to deal with. But with a long war still ahead, he knew there was no guarantee of that. But for that night, they were both there and alive, and it was enough. The end.